an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
Especially at the beginning, because she's, quote unquote, she's functional. And she gets dressed every day. She looks adorable. Like, she probably gets better dressed than I do half the time. So, like, that's happening. But there's these other parts where you're like, oh, I just want someone to go in and check. And she's really untrusting too. So I also even think about the future as well as her care potentially, and will, not potentially, but will need more.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Discussions, the podcast for and about caregivers. If you would like to share your caregiving story with me, I'd love to hear from you. Please call me and leave a message at 310-362-8232 or send me an email at dementiadiscussions.net. Today, my guest is Katie Chapman. I was referred to Katie through your support group leader, Monica Moore at UCLA. You attend a support group, a young onset support group. Is that right?
Yeah, it's for 20, 30s, and 40-year-olds.
Caregivers.
So it's a younger age kind of support, I guess.
And mostly you're all dealing with you're caregiving for your parent.
Yeah, most of every single one of us is caregiving for a parent or navigating parents. Yeah, it's unique because most of us don't have friends or other people that we hang out with that are going through this. So it's definitely a support to just not feel so alone at this age.
How old is your mom?
My mom is 75.
And when was she diagnosed?
Her cognitive decline probably started about 5 or 6 years ago. And
5 or 6. So she was in her late 60s?
Late 60s. It's where you just kind of started to see, like, oh, okay, she's a bit more forgetful. And yeah, just kind of asking and repeating the same questions a bit more often. And then I can say that the global pandemic definitely felt like it just accelerated things. Although even before the pandemic, we had been trying to get her to see the neurologist for an evaluation. Mm-hmm. And she would cancel appointments and forget why she had it and be like, oh, I'm fine. So kind of a lengthy answer to your question, but she didn't get diagnosed until August of this past year. So August 2021 was when she finally went to see a neurologist, got an official evaluation, and her official diagnosis is advanced cognitive decline. So not quite dementia yet. They haven't, I guess, rolled it over to like a dementia or an Alzheimer's quite yet, but it's the beginning of that pathway is what we've been told.
So not mild cognitive impairment, advanced cognitive decline.
Yeah, that's what it is. And of course, I'm just trying to be like, okay, that's the official diagnosis. But the pathway, I feel like, is set out. And also, at least, I guess, gives us a little bit of a navigation, let's say, of where she's at. So not mild, they consider it advanced, but not like she can do her activities of daily living and she can bathe, clothe, cook, all of those things. But it's definitely the short-term memory for sure. And she gets really overwhelmed. And so if there's any sort of like anxiety or stress or anything that ramps up her feeling of overwhelmness or anxiety, then I kind of describe it as like short circuiting her brain. Like that's when it's like, if it's too much, all of a sudden that's where I'm like, oh, okay. You can kind of see it to where she'll get more confused and not know, for example, driving. She's trying to drive locally, But if it's a new place and she hasn't been to that place before, then that's very overwhelming and she'll tend to get lost. Or you'll be like, okay, remember you have GPS on your phone, or do we need to print out like old school MapQuest for anyone?
Right.
So like, what do we need to do to help support that? But there's different aspects of just kind of recognizing of where she's at in this advanced cognitive decline state.
Can she pull up MapQuest if she's going to a new place? Does she remember like to pull up Google Map? Can she navigate that?
No. Not really. Yeah, not really. As much as you can say like, oh, I put this app on your phone to be your map. It's also the technology part too. Sure. Yeah.
So you make sure she's still driving, but only in familiar places.
Not necessarily. I live in Los Angeles and my mom lives in Kentucky. So I'm also caregiving from a distance, essentially attempting to try to navigate that aspect as well. I have a complicated little picture here.
Yes. Is there anyone in Kentucky that helps you with her?
There is. I have a sister who is there who can give a little bit of support, but if there's anything like navigating or big picture or major decision, I'm all those things, like navigate finances, navigate her care. I sometimes will be like, I want a break from making decisions.
I get it. Yes.
So I do have a sister, and then my mom's sister is still alive and doesn't have any memory issues. So they can sometimes at least kind of have boots on the ground, at least to help keep tabs. But I can say more recently, my mom is, she's definitely in denial of what's going on with her. So if anyone kind of checks in, like if you're checking on like, oh, did she forget medication? And let's take a look. And let's say my sister checks in on that. My mom's really mad about that and feels like she's being watched and checked up on. And
you know, it's insulted.
It's hard to, let's say, like honor your parent. And I know that she wants to make sure that her freedom, I guess, isn't compromised. I get that.
Mm.
Then there's the other part where you're also just like, oh, we're just making sure your medication is being taken so we can prevent advancement of already the advanced.
Right. So that's a good question. So is she on the memory medicine? So is she on Aricept and Namenda?
Aricept.
Okay.
She is on that. But again, it's, she'll forget sometimes, even though, right, pill holder, like day by day. I mean, that's where I feel like sometimes even in that navigation is difficult. And of course, we're all human. So like, absolutely, at night, you'll forget. Okay, you'll go to bed, you'll forget.
Yeah, of course.
But I think of just going like, okay, so is she forgetting four nights in a row? Or if it's something more significant, you're trying to just navigate that or just checking in on it. So that if a gentle reminder is needed, or if there's a different way of going about this, there's sticky notes several places and just trying, but it's hard.
That is very hard, especially from 3,000 miles away. Yeah.
It's a unique kind of navigation with it. So.
And are there friends nearby that pop in to see her or anyone else?
Yeah, she has friends. And what, like, I'm trying to encourage them, and I'm starting to have really just calling them directly and having really frank conversations, because I think they recognize my mom's memory loss and memory decline. And then of course, we're all grieving kind of that part and recognizing that our person looks different. But then also at the same time, they'll invite her to stuff and they'll be like, yeah, yeah, okay, well, she didn't show up. And it's because she probably forgot. And so mm-hmm. I think I'm starting to have like super frank discussions of like, please engage with her, like tell her to write it on her calendar. Like she has a calendar that navigates her and that's where she writes things down so she knows what's going on. And she probably looks at that calendar 10 times a day, but that like, there's certain things to say like, okay, write this on your calendar or call her that morning or just, I'm coming to pick you up. So I'm starting to have more frank discussions mm-hmm. around that because they're approaching it the same way of like, oh, I'm telling my friend, come on over on Thursday.
Sure. And she's not remembering.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's missing out too on that social interaction, which I feel is important as well.
Most people are pretty receptive. If I would think if you said, hey, can you just go pick her up? Because she probably will forget about the gathering. Are they okay with that when you're asking them like a specific thing to do?
Yeah, they're okay with it. I think the other part, let's say from a caregiver perspective, that's difficult is that they have a lot of questions, of course, and I don't mind answering. And I can only give so much information or what is available to me to understand. But the difficult part is then, I mean, everyone very much tells me all their opinions about how what I should be doing, how I should be doing it. When am I moving home? Because obviously like I'm going to just give up my life and move. And I go pretty frequently and I stay for a good amount of time to navigate things. But that's what I can say is the hard part about that. Like I'm so like, oh gosh, I've known you forever. And please help us out and help your friend out. But I have to be in a strong enough space too.
I bet because yes, the shoulds, you should move home and help your mom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people have a lot to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So.
Yeah. Which must make you feel even more guilty that you're not there.
Oh yeah. I mean, all of it is navigating your own feelings along with caregiving and being a strong person and doing the best that you can, but also like carrying this. And that part I could say is so hard.
Yeah. Carrying this day to day from so far away.
Yeah. Can say for any other caregivers too, also caring and just period, because it's not like you go to work and you're not like your parent or your whomever that you're caregiving for. It's not like that doesn't kind of leave the back of your head. You're still like, oh yeah, okay, that's right. I have to follow up on that, or call in on that. And, or just that maybe a feeling comes up and you're like, oh gosh, that would be really cool to do with my mom. And that's a bummer that that's not going to happen. And so carrying that is in and of itself, whether you're close or far away, that part's also hard too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're probably in your work, you're, you know, probably in your work, you're dealing with seniors, perhaps, I'm not sure. And so you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, here I am working with other people's parents. I don't know. I don't know if that's an issue for you, but thinking like, what about my own parent?
It sometimes comes up like that. And then, yeah, you're kind of sitting back like, oh, okay, let me.
But you're young. I mean, it's not like you're retired and can take off and take care of your mom.
I'm in my 40s.
Yeah, you're in your 40s. This is like going full steam ahead in your career. You've settled in a new city. It's not like you can just pick up and move that easily.
No, I wouldn't want to either. And that may sound harsh, but, and I know my mom too, because I've lived away for 18 years, I don't have as much of a connection there. So it would feel really foreign and I would feel like I would just be moving, that I wouldn't be a part of that decision on the moon. In some ways, I might frankly be resentful of that. And
I don't
want that for me, nor her, nor our relationship. And I, again, it may sound completely harsh, and I can understand that, but I also recognize that in order for me to show up in a really lovely, positive way for the rest of her life and the rest of her life and dealing with this disease, I also have to be in a space that is.
I don't think that's harsh. I don't think that's harsh. I think that's called taking care of yourself. Yeah. And you know that if you were to pick up and move back there and start taking care of your mom, yes, you would be resentful. The resentful daughter is not the caregiver you want to show up. No, you're absolutely right. You know yourself. So that's not harsh. That's knowing your limitations and taking care of yourself and your mom, really.
Yeah.
As hard as it is to be so far away. And you're not putting the responsibility on your sister. Your sister also has her limitations, I'm sure.
She does, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not like you're saying, oh, you have to do all that. That makes you sad.
Oh gosh, I feel guilty. Right. That's the sad part. It's like, as much as I'm like, oh yeah, I know I don't want to be I know I would resent moving back. Doesn't mean that I don't have guilt. That's the part that I think makes me sad, is I'm like, internally, it's a little bit of a battle of being like, okay, you're right. Whew. I know my limits and my boundaries, and I know that this is good for me, but there's also that part where it's just like, oh gosh, I should be there. Ooh. So it's, I can say the feelings part is the hardest part about this. Mm-hmm. It's not figuring out like finances or anything like that. I'm like, oh, great with a spreadsheet. Like that part is fine. It's the feeling part.
Absolutely. And the conflicted feeling, all the mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. That make you just want to pull up and run over there and move in with your mom and oversee everything and make sure she's okay. And maybe it's finding that balance. Like maybe it's going there once every few months. Or I don't know. I don't know what alleviates that guilt. Like, is it calling her several times a week? Is it going there twice a year or three times? You know what I mean?
My new thing, we got official diagnosis in August, and I was there in August of last year. And so I'm going back every 4 months ish, 3-4 months. So like 3 times a year. And now I'm going for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
So I have a nice ability to work from anywhere. I work from there a bit, and then also take that time to focus on what needs to happen for my mom. So then it's less, a little bit less of a thought trying to navigate from out here. And that's something that I've newly tried. So
how's that going for you?
You know, I went in March and it went okay. Like there's definitely things I'm reflecting and going like, okay, this should be different. Or if I try to do too much in a day with her, that really taxes her brain. She kind of melts down at night. Like it's, her brain doesn't work well. And then she gets frustrated and then she cries. And that's really hard to witness. So I know that it's like, I can only ask for something to in chunks. Yeah. Like, okay, if I do like 3 hours where I'm like, okay, we're going to do work on this really hard right now. And then
that's it. Right.
That works out a bit better.
Because those 3 hours, like it took everything in her to muster up being on top of her game for that time.
Yeah.
And so right after that, whew,
yeah,
she needs to relax.
Yeah. It went okay. I think I did my first trip in March. And so my plan is then to go back in July. We'll see, July, August. We'll see.
And you can always change things as you go. Since you won't have been there, you're going to be able to see progression differently than your sister, probably, who might see her more frequently.
She does. She sees her a couple times a week. So.
Sure. Yeah. So that's normal that you'd come in and say, oh, wow, now mom can't do whatever, X. Whereas it might, subtle changes are not always so noticeable when you're seeing someone frequently.
No. And I even noticed changes from December when I was there for the holidays to March and kind of picking that up of like, oh, okay. Her famous like recipe that she makes all the time, she forgot an ingredient that was new. But there's some things that come up where you're just like, oh, okay.
What is her famous recipe?
Lasagna. She, like, as a kid, Kentucky, Southern, just think about it. There would be a lasagna in the freezer at all times, just in case someone came over, so then you could feed them. So it is something that has frequently been around forever. And she tried to make it. And I don't know what she forgot. She just told me that, like, oh, I messed it up. I forgot to put something in there. And there's no reason to harp on exactly what she forgot. So I just was like, oh, that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So sometimes she's aware of it. Sometimes she can say, oh, I messed this up. I forgot.
Yeah. But she equates it as like, oh, I just happened to forget, versus a pattern or a disease state.
Mm-hmm.
But she can recognize that she forgets things, but it's just, she doesn't recognize that it's any different than anyone else getting old. Like, all my friends forget. And she definitely downplays it or isn't aware. So many things could be happening for her. I know she's really self-conscious about it too. Mm-hmm. So that's the other part. It's like, I also don't know if she just is self-conscious that she downplays it.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah, I'm sure at some level she knows something's going on. Right. She's self-conscious about it. So she must know that she's not on top of her game. She's not 100%. Have her friends said to her, oh, you told me that story already, or we talked about this before. What do you think she's self-conscious about?
I'm not sure. So I know the self-consciousness comes up with me if you're trying to ask for clarification. Like, hi, mom, I have this folder. Okay. Where would you like for me to put it? Like, this has all your 2020 receipts in there.
Mm-hmm.
We just did taxes. So this is a fresh story. So she'll go, oh, okay, well, I have all that. And it's supposed to be in the basement and near here. And I'm like, oh, where this other thing is, I'm not talking about that. I'm confused. Like, and I'll even say, like, I'm confused of where, and I'm just like, I really am confused if she's talking about that spot or a different spot. I just didn't see it before. And she's very frustrated and asking those questions. She'll go, you're making me feel stupid, and I'm not stupid. And that's where the part of the self-consciousness comes up. It's almost like if I ask too many questions. And even if you approach it of like, I'm confused, like, because, and it truly is, I'm confused and I'm just asking for clarification. It's because I'm sure her brain is also confused of trying to put it together as well. So it's almost pointing that out. And that's right. Where she'll get really frustrated or really self-conscious. Or if you're like, hi, mom, so all your windows are unlocked, that's not safe. What happened? Like, when's the last time you opened the windows in here? What happened? It'll be like, oh yeah, just the other day. Like, I just opened them. I guess I forgot to do it. And she'll brush things off. But you know what her days looked like. And you're like, nope, they've been open for at least 5 days.
Right.
So she'll brush things off. And then if you ask more, you'll be like, well, really, I thought you did this yesterday. And you're trying to just discover that more.
Like piece together the story.
Yeah. And then she'll be like, oh, well, you don't know. Like, I mean, it's really like she'll try to
cover. It sounds cover. Like.
Yeah.
And then if you press her, she feels like you're making her feel bad. You're making her feel stupid.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, it's tough. Because you're not trying to intentionally at all. And you're also trying to clarify for yourself and making sure that she's safe. And you're like, oh gosh, if your windows that are like ground level to the street have been unlocked for at least 5 days, you also are like, I don't know how long. And do I need to think about putting some sort of alarm system or some sort of something?
And the answer would be yes.
Right. And the answer is yes. And then that's also a struggle too, because she's never had an alarm and why would she need one? And it was just this one time that she forgot.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. So implementing like safety features.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which won't make sense to her. And
no.
how to do that. Yeah. And it might be something like, Mom, I just got these on my windows. You can sort of come up with something.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think? I just got these on my windows. Like, let's try them.
Right.
I got extras for you.
It's all of these things. And it's so fun. I like laugh because I think if I don't laugh, I'll sometimes cry all the time. But I have like an ongoing list of things to do for my mom. And I sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that's right. I got to do this. And I added to the list one, because I keep everything straight, but then also at the same time, there's a sense of, it helps me to go like, okay, it's there for when I'm ready to work on things or for when I go back, I know like the top things I need to work on when I'm there. But
it's getting to be a long list.
Uh-huh. There's always something. So, yeah.
And you have to tread carefully.
We do. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is oftentimes when people bring in just a little bit of help, like a caregiver that is not called a caregiver,
yeah.
Right? It's called, I don't know what, a driver, a companion, a friend, like you're sort of weaving this person in to help with some of these things. So I don't know if that's possible, but it's so tricky. At the beginning here, it's so tricky.
Especially at the beginning, because she's quote unquote, she's functional. And she gets dressed every day. She looks adorable. Like she probably gets better dressed than I do half the time. So, I'm like, that's all that's happening. But there's these other parts where you're like, oh, I just want someone to go in and check. And she's really untrusting too. So I also even think about the future as well as her care potentially and will, not potentially, but will need more.
Yeah.
And if trying to keep her at home, and if we are keeping her at home for as long, or a facility, like just what that looks like. And I haven't even really, it's been less than a year, so I haven't really fully just gotten there in terms of even wrapping my head around it, nor having conversations with anyone.
Yeah. And most people start out just how you are, wanting to keep their parent at home for as long as possible, bringing things into her, like trying to get massaging the situation and pulling people in as you can.
Yeah.
Unless your mom is one of those very social people, and you could couch it as, this is a place that has all of these activities and all the other things that come along with living in a structured environment, bringing people in, which,
yeah,
since you're right at the beginning, I think that is the hardest, because like your mom is sort of digging her heels in a little bit, like feeling embarrassed, feeling ashamed, trying to cover up, smooth over. And at some point it will become clear that she's not quite able to do that anymore.
Yeah. Especially even now of just trying to get a pulse on where things are at. Like her bills, all of that, I have had to quickly figure out of like, okay, wait, what do you pay every month? Who gets paid every month? How do you pay them? Walk me through that. So
that's a really great point. And yeah. Was she willing to let you help her?
Yes. There's certain things that she's just like, yes, here, no problem. And I'll be like, hey, mom, can we figure out, like, it'll make me feel comfortable. I want to make sure that I'm on your bank accounts. Is that okay? Can I log in to your bank account? I've approached everything with permission. Absolutely. And she's fine with that. Like that part is like, no problem. It's more of her, I feel like her sense of freedom or her sense of taking care of herself or like recognizing that that could eventually not happen. But like, yeah, she's happy for me to figure out what's happening mm-hmm. with her finances and
to take care of her in that way.
Yeah, she still does her paying her bills, or we have it set up on automatic bill mm-hmm. pay. But I wanted to make sure that I had just a spreadsheet or even something, because I was like, what are your bills? I walked in like, I don't even know what are your bills.
Right. How would you have known? She's been taking care of that for herself for years.
Yeah. How would you
have any idea?
And then actually even walking through, I think this was an interesting kind of exercise that we did that I don't know, I think maybe helpful for others too, is I walked through of how she knew, like, how do you know how to pay a bill?
Really good idea.
What happens? And we kind of walked through that, and I definitely made it on a non-brain taxing day, because I know that that's a lot. But walking through that was important because I realized that she relies on a paper invoice or statement. And then when she gets that, she will pay a bill, and that'll be by check, usually some electronic, but mostly not. And that paper statement is the indicator for her. So her mortgage changed to paperless. And there's not an option to send paper. So she didn't pay her mortgage for 4 months.
Oh, goodness.
Then you're like, oh, okay. So, I mean, there's certain things to where, and then another something, she was paying late and had to pay a late fee every time. So from a financial sense, I'm like, mom, okay, you're all this extra because of this indication. Can we set it up electronically? I did try to call the company to say, like, could you just send her a paper statement, right? Usually you have the option of like paperless or paper, and it wasn't an option. So
they have these people in the community called daily money managers. Oh. And that's what they do. They pay bills.
Okay.
So they don't take over.
Yeah.
They don't get into your bank account.
Yeah.
They just pay bills, and they belong to they all belong to an association, mm-hmm. a national association. It's called American Association of Daily Money Managers.
Okay.
And yeah, you can look them up. They're all over the country.
Oh, that's good to know.
And they're certified.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I just, new navigations. This is what I can say for anyone. Like, all of it is like, oh, okay. Let's, like, there's such discovery and how someone does something, and then discovery of like where the gaps are, or where like what's falling through the cracks. And then now you sharing like, here's a service that can help this out. And I think support groups also really important in that too, at least for me, not only not feeling alone in this process, but also you're like, so be like, I don't know what's out there, and I don't know what to do about this. Does anyone have an idea? Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah. You're just discovering these things, and that's how it's going to be. probably every few months, you're going to go see your mom and discover something else, right? Oh, mom, like I'm looking at your medication list and it doesn't look like this. I'm making it up. This pressure pill, like it doesn't look like it's in your box.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm like always a new discovery, always a new thing that I'm just trying to.
Right. Navigate through. Exactly. Yeah. And it's honestly, that's how it would be probably even if you were living in Kentucky next door to your mom, probably wouldn't be any different, but you would just be getting the resistance on a daily basis instead of.
Right. And instead of coming into town and being like, hi, I'm here.
Right. So that's always the tricky part. And that's like the tricky part of my job is you're right. You started out with this talking about her independence and her autonomy. And she's kind of on the fringe of losing some of it. And she knows it. She like, and she's trying to hang on, right? Trying so hard to maintain control and just not able to in some areas.
Yeah. I'm watching in some ways. I'm empathetic for that too, because I get it. I mean, I get it. I wouldn't want to lose my freedom and autonomy. So I get that. And I'm sure it's scary too. I'm sure it's scary to not recognize like yourself and recognize what's going on with yourself.
And you could probably say that to your mom, right? Like, this must be so scary for you. Because she's at the beginning. So you probably can talk about the range of feelings she's having.
Yeah. Yes and no. She'll shut down a little bit because she's still really in denial. So even though, let's say, I don't think she's in denial to herself, but she's in denial of saying it out loud at this point. So even when you're like, do you notice? Do you feel like you're not as sharp? Do you feel like, or just like you're trying to just whatever? And you're tiptoeing around it. She'll say, she'll just, oh yeah, a little, but, and then it's like this, but, and if you kind of probe a little more and just kind of be like, oh, how do you feel about that? Oh, it's fine. Like she very kind of shuts it down really quick as far as her feelings. So I don't think we're at that point yet. And I just say, yet, my hope is that as she's working through this, because she'll be more open of saying it out loud. And even I'm trying to think of like, oh, how to make it a safe space or an okay space to talk about out loud.
That's the tricky part. And if you can create that, how great would that be?
Yeah.
To be able, because it has to be scary for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here in LA, there's great programs for people in early stage for her. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's caregiver stuff for you, but for her, there's programs for people in the early stages. I don't know if they have that in Kentucky.
I'm sure potentially. Yeah, I'll take a look.
Perhaps. I mean, if there's probably an Alzheimer's Association.
There is.
Yeah. So it's worth asking them first, do they have any early stage programs?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like, Mom, I just want to see. Let's just go see what this is all about. It doesn't mean you have Alzheimer's. It just, like, we're all a little forgetful. So I don't know. You can try to like use her words.
Yeah.
To see if she'd be open to it. I'm not sure if she would be, but
I don't know either. Yeah.
Yeah. And we all struggle with that. Is it denial or is it, she really doesn't remember that she has a memory loss.
She says she's more forgetful. Okay. So it's like in my head, I'm just like, I think internally there's a level of knowing, but externally, like she's not, like that's where there's denial of like externally, like, oh, I don't want to talk about this.
Sure.
But I think internally she does kind of know that there's some memory.
Yeah. And she's embarrassed or ashamed.
Absolutely.
And maybe in those moments, when she says, oh yeah, I forgot, blah, blah, blah. I forgot an ingredient in the lasagna. I mean, maybe that's like a point where you say, well, Mom, right. You've got this diagnosis of forgetfulness. So yes, of course, like, don't worry. It's because you've got this, I don't know if you want to say disease, but you know, you've got this diagnosis. Yeah. The doctor said so don't worry about it. It's okay. Yeah. Like, well, how can I help you? Like, let's write down the ingredients and check them off as you put them in Right. Like maybe just talking about it. Like, well, yeah, of course you forgot an ingredient. Like that's because it's like, that's something happened in your brain and anyone would have tried to normalize it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely done that.
And hasn't gone well.
Hasn't gone well so far. I'm going to continue because I think the more it's said out loud, the more normalized it would get. Like, we can talk about this. We
exactly.
can go there. It doesn't.
I still love you. You're still okay.
Right.
Sun is still going to rise. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's where I kind of look at it of like, it's okay.
And it is. It is okay. It's just something you're going to deal with as anything else you would deal with.
Right. This has been already really helpful of just kind of talking about it because I would say if I go into support group, like there's not an area for younger people who are navigating this. And I don't have friends going through this, actually.
I bet.
So to recognize, like when I came back from my 2-week trip to Kentucky, it took me like a good 2 to 3 weeks to kind of just decompress and feel like, oh, okay, I'm a person among the living again. And people can recognize that it's hard. And I thank them for that. But I don't think that there's not a recognizing of all the aspects of it. It'll be like, well, can't someone just do that for her? And I'm like, sure, but no, because then she doesn't, like, that doesn't sit right with her, or she feels a bit embarrassed, or she's upset, and then she's in denial. I mean, I'm just like, oh, the layers of like the emotional lifting with this, and even personally, like your emotional lifting too, like when I call her and I'm just like, okay, like what are you doing? And I'm trying to make it light and airy and
it's not, it's so heavy.
And you're just like, okay, she's repeating the same thing like for the fourth time on our phone conversation that's only been 15 minutes. And you're like, do I have the bandwidth for this today?
Right.
Or not. So I think that there's that aspect. Unless you're in it, it's just so hard to say like, okay, like you truly can't describe it. And also I don't expect people to understand, and that's okay. I appreciate the support, at least just to hear me out and recognize that I'm like, well, this is tough and I may not be able to show up all the time in the way that I used to just because I'm spread a little thin. I'm glad to have a support group of people who are around my age that are like, oh yeah, okay, we get this. We recognize
there's just
a different aspect.
Absolutely. And all the sadness, like all the grief about your mother, like the thought of like if you were like get married and have kids and you're like the grandmother in their life and just always having your mother as like the person to go home to and that support and that role in your life of your mom. And she's just not able to be that person in your life anymore.
Yeah, it's just tough. And also I'm like, oh, I navigate myself and I have my own business. And so like, I literally am like, okay, I'm navigating these two things for just me personally. And then I'm like, oh, and then I also have my mom's stuff too. So
it's a lot.
The plate seems really full. It's a different navigation.
Yeah. You just feel alone with it all.
Yeah. There's a loneliness to it. You're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Does anyone else know what they're doing? Because I'm
out there floundering like I am.
Because I definitely don't know, but
yeah, it's just, yeah, it's one of those just interesting.
Well, you're gathering information as you go. No one knows this path unless you're in it. Your fellow support group members know this the best of all and can be so supportive to you. But you're right. I'm sure you call your mom and she has the same conversation. You hang up so like heavy hearted.
Yeah. And just you hang up and you're like, okay, well, will she remember that I called her? I mean, and I don't know that either. Like, I don't know if that she'll be like, oh yeah, my daughter that lives far away, like talks to me and all that stuff. She may not. She may just be like, oh, you're never around.
Right. Exactly. It's true. You don't know. So her friends might think you never call.
Right.
Which could be why they're saying you really ought to fill in the blank.
Yeah, could be.
They talk about like building your team, the friends that are there, your sister, like you're all in this together. The doctor, you're really kind of building the supports around her, this little safety net, so that her friends, if they pick her up and do notice something glaring, they'll call you.
Yeah.
Or they'll call your sister. And did you know your mom did blah, blah, blah? Like, just so you guys would know something. Or maybe you call them and say, hey, if you notice anything with my mom, could you call me and let me know?
Yeah. I'm starting those conversations and it is helpful and it's affecting everyone differently and everyone's having also grief and loss in their own way.
Sure. They're a good friend. Yeah. They're friend for a zillion years.
Yeah. Yeah. Just trying to be like that open person. To be like, if you guys see anything weird or different, let me know.
Absolutely. And I think that's okay to say to them. That's a whole nother issue. Like,
whole other.
Your mom might say, don't tell anyone about my memory, about my forgetfulness, or my diagnosis. She doesn't even recognize it herself. So
that's what I was like. Yeah. She's
so not there yet.
Yeah, no. I mean, and I'm on speakerphone during her doctor's visit. So I'm part of her care there. She's not going to say that because at least now, because she doesn't recognize
she doesn't have a problem.
It.
Right.
Yeah. There's no issues.
Exactly. And sometimes some families will say to their parent, like, I know you're mom. I know you're fine. But you know, for me, I know you can do everything, but just for me, could you, like, this is just for me, for my peace of mind, could you do, you know, could you bring in the bill payer, like the bookkeeper?
Right.
Like, I know you're, or I mean, she recognizes that as something she doesn't want to do, but
right.
Like, mom, I know you could totally independent, but just since I live so far away, could we just have so-and-so come in and order your pills every month? Or I don't, you'd make something up, weave someone into her life.
Yeah. That's the approach that I've been taking with like her medications and her doctors and her finances. It's like, hey, I just would feel better if I had a better sense of what's going on with us. And you still are capable of managing all of this, but I need to know all the details with this. It would make me feel better. And she's perfectly fine with that.
Great. Okay.
She was great. The coming into her house thing is different. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of a little bit of a like, well, I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, but you'll get to know them. Like,
right.
I'll be your best friend. But that's where that part, at least for now, is like, oh, I don't know. Like this kind of untrusting, whatever. And I can have some people that she does know in terms of if I need something checked on the house or if I'm concerned about something in that way. There are people she's known forever that have done repairs on her house that I can just call and say like, hey, will you go over and take a look at this for me?
Great. Perfect.
Which
yes.
is great.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, let's say like companion, checking on her meds, checking on, that's
no, can't go
she's
there.
She's not
yet.
There yet. She's not okay. there.
That's okay. I mean, there's like different pill boxes that have alarms that can open at certain times. And you can look into all that. And this, the beginning stages are so hard.
I just try to navigate like where to push, what what's the next part, like where to push things, what to have in line, like what power of attorney and advanced directives and like what to have legally set. I'm forgiving of the fact of like, okay, you can't do everything at once. And even though I have like a laundry list of things that like, quote unquote, need to be done for my mom and this, I'm like, yeah, there's only so much time, space, and energy that if I get through some, I'm really happy. That feels great. But I also know I can't pressure myself to have everything, every single thing done.
Yeah. Feel good about the one or two things you checked off your list for that 2-week visit.
Yeah.
Feel really good about that. Absolutely. The beauty of dementia is that it's gradual.
Yes.
So most things, unless there's a crisis, right, most things happen gradually.
Yes.
So it's okay if you didn't check off all the boxes on your list.
Yeah.
There'll be the next visit.
Right.
The issues will still be there.
Right. They're still there.
Yeah. And you'll have an opportunity and maybe even a little inroad with your mom in terms of acceptance, accepting something. Yes. So don't worry. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. I tell myself that every day. I'm just like, it's okay. Nothing's on fire. Okay. Like, right. I'm like, that's the only space that I can be in because I know I could. I mean, there's a lot of things that do need to happen, and that's a legitimate statement, but.
Yeah, and they will. They'll happen. They will happen. Right. In time, they'll all happen.
Yeah. And I think for now, I'm recognizing on how to not to tire myself out completely with doing everything at once or feeling that pressure of having to do everything at once.
Yeah, good. Well, I thank you for being here today. And I really hope we can talk again as you go on in this journey with your mom. I really hope you come back and tell us what's happening with her and with you and how things are going for you.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave me a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.